Right now, I'd like to speak about substitution, and we'll take this text, chapter 14, and we have leprosy in verses 2 and 3, and I don't know what that was, but something just exploded. And so we have leprosy. Leprosy is a disease, neurological, I read, affects skeletal, muscular, neurological system of man. And we think of it as, in the Jewish law, unclean, defiled, a disease. And it is a type or a metaphor for sin. And we got a problem. We've got this subject called sin in life. And just imagine you're in a community in the inner city of Baltimore, and you're with a small group of people interacting and so on, and you look at somebody the wrong way. And that person pulls out a gun and shoots you. Ugly, really, terrible. What did I do? I innocent blood is shed because of a phone call, a dirty look, a mistake, a misunderstanding, murder. Terrible. And we could say leprosy. It affects the whole person. We are sinners. We don't realize how bad it is. Well, in corporate America, maybe they're not pulling out guns, but the same thing. There is pride. Blindness, educated, powerful people, and they can get rid of you with a phone call. And you're out in the parking lot. You lost your job. You can't believe that happened. Sin. Every level of society, all kinds of expression. And it is painful and hard. And if you have not been the victim of somebody's sin, and I cannot believe that you haven't been, but when somebody mistreats you or is unjust or a hypocrisy in religion, there's a lot of hypocrisy where we give an impression but behind it is something else. God in the Old Testament was angry about oppression of people, that innocent people were being pushed down and oppressed, and it was unfair and not right. God was angry with the Jewish people, as he is with all of us, if there is hypocrisy in our worship. And that is why I love it when I'm with people like you that are serious about God. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is in our hearts and we are learning to walk with God and to take Him seriously and walk with Him. That is amazing. But Christ came and He saw the hypocrisy and He was angry with it. So I want to say something. There is sin. Let's stop there. There's sin. Have you been the victim? Have you been misunderstood? Have you been abused? Has somebody taken advantage? Has somebody stolen your bicycle off your back porch? Has somebody lied about you on Facebook or some other social media? Have you been misunderstood by a family member? And then have you sinned? Have you stolen or lied or misrepresented or oppressed people? And also hypocrisy in worship and so on. Have you been that way? Have you? Answer me. No, I'm sorry. Okay. Have you been? Answer me. No, okay. Have you been? Okay, so I want you to lean over to your neighbor, if you want to, or just say yes. Okay, let me change that. Say to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you got 1 minute, because I know it would be impossible for many of you to talk for 1 minute. Once you start, you need at least 5 minutes. But no, listen. Tell them that sin is painful, that it has happened. I'm not going into details, but sin is serious. If you've been the victim of it, if you have been in jail when it shouldn't have happened, if you've been deprived of a blessing or a privilege and it shouldn't have happened, if somebody's ripped you off and it shouldn't have, if somebody lied about you, if you lost a job or an opportunity in school or something and it wasn't right, then just lean over to your neighbor and just tell them that happened to me. And some of you are going to say, what's he talking about? I was on my iPhone. What's he talking about? Okay, what am I talking about? What? Okay. I want us to repeat it. It is terrible. It is terrible. You know, it's terrible. It's sad. If we could see what God is saying when he says, I hate sin. If we could see that. I don't know if any of you in your marriage, your husband or your wife cheated on you. Or you did it to them. I do not know, and I don't care. That's not my business. I'm so glad you're here. But that hurts. They laugh about it in the movies and talk about it in the shops and places of exchange where people are. But if it happens to you, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. The person I trusted, and that it's not a joke. It's terrible. Sin is terrible. And there is so much pain. There is so much pain in this world because of it. Highly, highly underrated teaching. Highly, highly, not even many don't even go there. They don't talk. They don't want to get into it. They want to have just a nice, happy church. I don't want that. I want to have a church that is holy. I want to have a church where there are tears. I want to have a church where it is serious. I want to have a church where God changes us. I want to have a church where the glory of God is. I want to have a fellowship where Christ is. I want Jesus to speak to our hearts and be real, because whether you like it or not, you're going to face that reality sooner or later. Might as well do it today instead of playing games, right? Let's get on with it. Let's go. We want God. That's fun. I'd rather be with Noah Ark in Noah's Ark than a chimpanzee outside of the Ark. You know, treading water. And many people, and I am sorry to say that it does happen, believers, soft pedal, play around, joke, laugh about it, until it hits them. When it hits them, when you face a jail sentence for drunken driving, Right? You find out your whole family is obliterated, and you feel the pain of it, and it hits you. And I'm just saying it just from my heart, not condemning anybody. No. We're going into the good part of the message. But the good part is going to even be better when we get the bad stuff taken care of here. Because it is a terrible thing. Okay, go now to chapter 14 and verse 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel. The meaning of earthen means mud, clay, not fancy silver, gold, bronze. It's like Jesus, when he came into this world, he came in an earthen vessel, and he, in our typology, is one of these birds. There are two birds. One of the birds is to be killed over an earthen vessel, over running water. So water is running. That's like there's some source of running water, maybe a jar, a priest is pouring it. And the bird, they twist the head off, the blood runs in, there's running water, so it's blood and water goes into the earthen bowl. This is all a picture of Christ the Messiah, who would come here and be offered up over running water. Now, the running water was a type of the Holy Spirit. And you know that it was the Holy Spirit, not the nails, that held Jesus on the cross. It was the Holy Spirit that held him on the cross. In Hebrews 9:14, he was crucified by the Spirit. The Spirit had him there. And he himself willingly, so in his will, but it was the Father that gave him, so the whole Trinity was involved in the crucifixion. The Father gave him, he willingly offered, and the Holy Spirit kept him there, crucifying him. He was crucified by the Holy Spirit. The running water was also the doctrine, Ephesians 5:24 to 26, the water of the Word, the Bible. Jesus is thinking the Bible as he's on the cross. And the running water has him and stay there, being crucified, bleeding. And then, interestingly enough, in the historical record, when the centurion was told that the Passover was ending and that all the dead bodies by Jewish law had to come down from the cross, so they had to make sure that this, so they broke the legs, because the men, you know, being crucified, they would push up to breathe. So their legs being broken, they couldn't do it any longer, would die faster. When they came to Christ, he was already dead. By the way, the prophet said, Daniel or David said, not a bone would be broken. So his legs could not be broken to fulfill the prophecy, which they knew nothing about, of course. And the centurion knew where his heart was, because he was a killer, and he knew the body, and he knew where to put the spear, goes up through the ribcage, up to the heart, to make sure he's dead. And out came what? Blood and water, same thing here. That the bird was to be killed under the running water. So in the bowl was blood and water. And they took the living bird and dipped it in and released him. And that speaks of you and I. Our theme today is substitution. And I want you to finish looking at the text here. Verse 6. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now go, please, to Luke 23. We have an example there. Pilate is interviewed, has interviewed Christ, and then he sent Christ to Herod, who interviewed him. Christ did not speak to Herod at all, but the point was to do a review, like, is this man worthy of death? For by Roman law, there had to be some reason for executing, and Pilate found none, Herod found none. And so Pilate said to the Jewish leaders, verse 16, I'll therefore chastise him and release him. In word, Pilate was saying to the leaders, okay, you don't like him. I did the review. We don't find any reason. We'll just chastise him and release him. And so you guys get out of here. I'm done. We're finished. It's over. But they didn't buy it. They didn't want that. And it says here, 18, they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. He was rising up against Roman authority, occupation, something, we don't know the detail, but anyway, treasonous and contrary to the government, and a murderer, maybe one of those stealth murderers in the city who could come up behind a Roman soldier and put a knife in him and disappear. Anyway, he was caught, found guilty. And on that day, there were going to be 3 crucifixions, and it was going to be 2 thieves and Barabbas. But it wasn't. There was a substitution for Barabbas. Barabbas went free, like that bird. We don't know anything about Barabbas, actually. It's Bar means son of, Bar in Aramaic, and Abba is dad, a father, son of the father. Kind of a general name. We don't know who he is. Son of what father? Bar Jonah, son of Jonah. Bar and on it goes. And Jesus said to the Jewish leaders in John 8, your father is not Abraham, but your father is the devil. In a way, so are we. We are the sons of the devil. We are the sinners. We are like Barabbas. Like the young man in Baltimore City, carries a gun and fights for his life and hopes to survive. And a funny look, or somebody called his girlfriend, or somebody talked to somebody they shouldn't have talked to. And it's so crazy, this world of crime and murder and subjectivity and feelings. My feelings got hurt and so on. Sin. I wish there was a lot of preaching about it in the way that we are today saying it's not our friend. It's not what we need. Could I learn something else? Could I learn something like Barabbas? A couple hours later, Barabbas goes, sees his couple friends over here, walks across the town, sees it. Then he hears the crucifixion is going on. I'll just whiz by there, take a look. Barabbas is there, taking a careful look. Three crosses. Ha ha. I should have been there in the middle one, I think. I think that's the guy that they chose instead of me. And he looks at him. Close call. Wow. Poor guy. What did he do? There are four things about Christ that made it possible for him to be our substitute. And I want to give them to you. And then make one more point and we're done. First one, incarnation. God wanted, God being angry with our sin, our murder, our treachery, our dishonesty, our hypocrisy, our emptiness, our looking for love in the wrong places, our wandering spirit, our careless attitude about the creation, about the Creator, our careless attitude about relationships, just living kind of dumb and stupid lives. Be very real about it. It's dumb and just plain stupid. And he goes, I hate the sin, but I love them. I love them. I can change them. I can teach them. I can appear to them. I can save them. I love them. I can give them mercy. I must judge them. I must judge that thing that I hate. And I can do it. I can come into this world. It's called the incarnation. That God would become a man. It's the mystery of our faith, that doctrine. How could God be everywhere present, be in one, everywhere present and be here and not know everything? As a man, he didn't know everything. He was a man. Men don't know everything. Men are not everywhere present. They are here in one place, and he became a man. He was in one place, but he's God. How humble he is. What a servant. How self-deprecating he is. How not important he is. How humble he is. How careful he can be. How beautifully low he can be to be God and man at the same time in Philippians 2. Number two, he had to be like us in every way, thirsty, hungry, tired, rejected, misunderstood. All of those, he identified perfectly with us. He was sleeping on the boat, hungry in the wilderness, thirsty, not understood by his family in John chapter 7. Neither did they believe in him. Rejected by his own people in Matthew 11. In a way, kind of alone at the same time inside the human race. But so unique and so different. And that's the third point. Though he was in it, he had to be separate from it. You know how you can be with a group of people yucking it up, having a good time, somebody's telling a dirty joke, and you know nobody really cares, and if somebody's, you know, gossiping or lying or just having a good time enjoying things without God, not thinking anything about God, not caring about God, not caring about important things, no heaviness, no weight of thought or reality, just a big joke, a game, a party. And Jesus could be in there, but he's separate from it. He's different. Thank God. He is different. Thank God. He was separate from men in Hebrews 7, 25 and 26. Separate, different. He is the only human being where the voice would come from heaven three times, "Behold my son, in whom I am well pleased." Nobody comes close to him. He is so awesome. He is so holy, so perfect, so wise. He's a man, but he's so humble, quietly living and walking, but he's so different. The difference is the difference that God sees. You know, when people see people he's different, or, oh, she is special. I mean, those things are like human perceptions. But imagine if God looked on the whole human race and say, "I have found none, but now I have found. Now I know this is my son, and there's no one like him." Unique and separate. He had to be in order to be the substitute for us. My son Justin said, it'd be like being at the Ravens Stadium on the 50-yard line and the Jumbotron there for everybody to see on the screen came up all my sins. Then they took all my clothes off, put me out on the 50-yard line, and everybody in the stadium is laughing at you and accusing you and pointing, "What an idiot, what a jerk," and saying, "All as my sins are on the Jumbotron." Well, just magnify that to like infinity, you know, X, increase it, many times, and you see the sins of the world on the Son of God, and stripped naked and hanging on a cross. One person said, when lightning comes, lightning strikes it, if there's a lightning rod, of course, it's designed to take the hit. Take the lightning hit. Hit me. The lightning rod is saying, "Hit me." And when Christ is on the cross, he's saying to the Father, "Hit me. I am sin. I have become sin for the entire world. I will take the hit. I will intercept your judgment on all these. And I will take the judgment upon me, because I am a man made like them, but I am separate from them, holy and perfect. In my very nature, I am God, but I have put aside my deity and lived like a man so that I could connect with them, and also I could take on the sin of the world. And I would become the one that you would judge so that I would be the substitute and they would go like the bird free and like Barabbas free." The fourth thing is simply when he was that lightning rod on the cross, in order to be the substitute, he had to become sin. He had to take, it says in 1 Peter, he had to take the sins of the world on his body. His body. Not in his spirit, because he's God. But he had to take it on his body. And he became sin, it says, 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Righteousness of God. That means 100% righteousness of God. We have been made the righteousness of God. He became 100% our sin. Our sin. And he's not a sinner. And he's not like that. That's how much he loves us. That he would become our sin, that we might be made his righteousness. That's how we go to heaven. It's called justification. Also reconciliation. Redemption. Also sanctification in one sense. The word is used that way in Hebrews 10:14. Also forgiveness. It's powerful. And it happened. So now go to the last part, please. It's Hosea chapter 2. And this has been on my heart. I can't get rid of it. It's where these verses are. We're just touching this. We want to do a whole message on this Hosea chapter 2 sometime. It's a great chapter. You are in your Bible, you read chapter 2 this week. Just read it a few times over and over. And read it slow, read it fast, read it a few times. Or this coming year, however you want to do it. But read your Bible. I mean, you're going to find God will speak to you through this. Now, I don't want to speak too much here. But this touches me. Adultery is hard, painful for anybody to go through, like we said. It's terrible, wicked. Terrible. And this is God is saying the nation of Israel is like a prostitute. Because she believed in God, but then had other gods, Baal. Baal was the agricultural god, or the weather god, the rain god, Baal. Baal. So they wanted to cover all their bases just like we do. We believe in God, but then we want to take care of our stuff over here, cover all our bases. And in a way, we could believe in God, but then we kind of like do our thing. Well, you know, everybody does it. You know, lie a little bit. You know, we believe in God. Yeah, God, we go to church. Yeah, we do. But then, you know, I got to make sure I got to cover this thing. And you got to be careful with that stuff. Guys, it's a lot of fun when you and I walk with God and we kind of get it right. The Lord will take care of you. God will reveal himself to you. You don't need to fool around with sin. You don't need it. Get rid of it. You find yourself filled with the Spirit. And as you are filled with the Spirit, you kind of lose your interest. You say, it's actually fun to believe in God and trust him. Have joy and some Tabasco sauce in your life. Kind of some fire. Get something going on. Get a little, stir it up. Get a little bit. And I want to say to some folks that are kind of borderline about going to church, I want to say, make it a part of your life in such a way that you don't have to decide it. I never decide. I go. I don't discuss it. I don't think about it. I go. It's in my life. Like, you think about, you talk, maybe you do, about whether you're going to eat lunch today. I don't know. Should I? Oh, hey, don't even talk about it like that. It's in the program all the time, all my life. I eat lunch, okay? Don't even talk about it. Well, the same thing with me and my fellowship with you. I want it. I enjoy it. It's part of my life. It's the landscape. It's the furniture. That's the way it is. This is how I live. And you got to have that in your life because my life is more than flesh and blood. It's spirit. And it's more than my own thinking, my own reading. What do we do? Reading, maybe you're involved with a lot of things, health club, soccer games, you know, movies, iPad, all the internet, everything. So much is going on. But my church life is not up for grabs, just like my lunch isn't. Actually, it can happen. You might miss it, but I'll make up for it. I'll make up for it. Okay, now, another little warning for us is those things where I am at in regards to sin in my life, where, to be honest, I get weak. I get tempted Friday night. I just get crazy somehow. I just get to go out, have a good time, something like that. It's like you got to have something going on in your heart. Got to have some ammunition. Got to have some weaponry. You got to have something going cooking. You got to have something cooking because you're going to be tempted. You're going to have temptations. No, there's nobody in this room that has overcome all temptations all the time. But I want to encourage you. It is possible that you have such a spiritual filling or satisfaction or something going on in your heart, and you stay this freshness gives you this kind of extra edge when it comes to temptation. Like, no, that's not even in that. Don't even go. It's like a bird's flying over your head. Martin Luther said this. Maybe you know this, but birds may fly over my head, but they're not making a nest in my hair. Amen. Regarding temptation and sin. That's a crazy thing might come to my mind, but it's like, bye bye, blackbird. It's gone. Bluebird, whatever. It's, you know, I choose what's nesting in my brain, what's nesting in my hair, what's nesting in my heart, what I'm feeding. I'm choosing it. That's my choice. And sometimes I get a little bit stirred up in it by the things I read, people I talk to, things that I listen to, and that edify me with like a punctuation mark at the end. Thus saith the Lord, and then period. It's not fun to live in question marks all the time. Questioning everything, questioning this and that, questioning my very existence, like as a hippie. I remember a guy saying that he was a bowl of cornflakes. And, like, okay, you know, I think I'm done. Okay, so you're a bowl of cornflakes. You're actually beginning to look like a bowl of corn. You talk like a bowl of cornflakes. Thank you, I'm done, I'm finished. Where is Jesus? I need Jesus in my life. You get it? You got to have this, but you can't, you're not going to get it just by living a naturally minded way of life. You get your focus, your Holy Spirit concentration. You get your face in this book, and you get the Holy Spirit speaking to you and encouraging you. And this is the portion I want to finish up with. It's chapter 2. I love it. If you read about her being an adulteress with other gods in first 13 verses, and then God saying, what am I going to do with her? And then he said, verse 14, behold, I will allure her. Allure her. I have this word here. It says, refers here to tender, even seductive speech. Where it's in Exodus 22:16, like a man talking to a woman, a lover's attempt to entice a man like Samson in Judges 14:15, that God will talk to her and draw her to the wilderness. This is verse 14. And bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. for a couple of days, I couldn't study this word out because I didn't have the means to do it. But then I've got it here. Speak comfortably to her. In the Hungarian Bible, it means speaking personally to her and persuasively to her. So here's a woman, by way of metaphor or type, she's a prostitute, and she's married to Hosea, literally. And God is having the prophet marry her so that the prophet will feel what God feels in betrayal. And the prophet feels this betrayal or pain from the sin. And that's what has to happen in your life. You've already felt it. You know about it. It's amazing, terrible. And then God's saying, you know what? Instead of getting rid of her, I'm going to speak comfortably to her. So it means to speak to her heart. It refers to gentle, encouraging words, such as a man speaks to his desired bride, Genesis 34:3 and Ruth 2:13. I can't get over it. I'm like moved by it. I love it. I just think it's amazing. I know that's how it is. Relationships are powerful. Listen, I'm going to finish. Here's right and wrong, and then there's something more, relationship. And we know about it. You raise kids, you got children, right and wrong, and then dad. You know, son, dad. You know, your husband and wife, you're fighting over what is right and wrong and so on, and then my relationship with you is more important than the right and wrong. Right and wrong, like you're wrong, Israel, you're wrong. But my relationship means a lot to me. I'm going to lure you into the wilderness where it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to speak words personally to you. Imagine a Christian backsliding. God is saying, I've been putting up with your stuff for so long. I want you to take you deeper. You got to know me. You got to know me. So you're going to have a DUI, and you're going to go to jail for a while. And I'm going to bring you in the wilderness, and then I'm going to speak to you personally. I'm going to speak to you in prison, in jail. You're going to be there, and you're going to pay a high fine, and you're going to be devastated by what happened to you. I'm going to bring you there, and then I'm going to give you words, and they're going to be personal words, and I will love you. And that's right there. That's verse 19. I'll betroth thee unto me. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. I'm going to tell you what righteousness is. You know, I could care less about all your you know, arrogant crap, how you talk and think and laugh and joke and stuff. Oh, it's empty wind. Now, I'm going to get, you know what righteousness is? Listen to me. I'm going to tell you. You don't know anything. I want you to hear what I have to say. I am God, not this other thing. I am God. The God you can't see, but the God that is real that made the universe. I am God that gave my son for you so that you could be free and not live in this garbage. I am God. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. And then it says, and in judgment and in loving kindness, hesed, that's the word, and mercies. Loving kindness. We ran out of time this morning. But we just have to sit there for a second. You see what he's saying? I love this. It's almost unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable that God would be like this. I love it so much. Wow. Lord, do whatever, because we're hurting people. We're hurting. We're hurting people inside. They're hurting. They're empty. There's so much garbage that's being said and counseled, and people are hearing and believing all kinds of stuff, and it's just hurt. They go from one pain to the other, one depression to one girlfriend to the other one, to one thing to another thing, and they got to get, and this is a thing that Jesus wants to say to us, that I am the substitute. You are free. You are free. Fly away. Barabbas, that you should hang there, that you are free. And if it was in reality salvation, that man's sins would be forgiven by his blood, that he would fly away free and be a new man. And also, when he died, we'd go to heaven and be with God. And that all happening by God's great love for us. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me? This is an invitation. If you are Barabbas today, and you may be, we have been, or are also, but you have not yet believed in Christ personally, then today is your day to do that. Say to Jesus Christ in your heart, I believe in you. Just say, I believe in the God of Jesus Christ. I believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Say, I believe on that cross that was the Son of God who died for me. And I am free today now. Yes, now I am free. My sins covered by the blood of the Lamb, forgiven and saved by his grace. Yes, you are. You can walk out of here born again as a child of God. Your name in the book of life. I'm not saying, I don't have any authority to say, I have nothing about this is from just men. This isn't about, this is the Bible. This is God speaking to our hearts. This is the Bible saying to you, you are born again by his grace, by believing in Christ. You are saved, forgiven, washed in the blood, a child of God. Talk to God like your Father. He will answer you. He will help you in all your things. And you'll learn. You'll grow little by little from faith to faith. He will show you that he is real. Say yes to Jesus by faith today. Anyone, raise your hand in the auditorium, if you're saying in your heart, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Anyone here? I believe in Jesus. Anyone? There's a hand. Thank you. God bless you. There we go. Anyone? Anyone else? Anyone else? Yeah. Anybody? Okay. Praise the Lord. Would you stand, and I'll ask Pastor Steve to do the benediction.
Right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these thoughts, Lord, as deep and wide as they are, Lord, about your substitution for us, really taking our place on the cross, Lord. We are free. Lord, we are set free to fly away like that bird today, Lord, and we just pray you will be with us this afternoon. We pray for our service tonight at 6:30. For this week, Lord, you would really lead us. Thank you for this time, Lord, together. Bless us now as we go. In your name, amen.